Good morning again, everybody. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5, and while you're doing that, we just want to invite or thank all of our visitors for being here and invite you back anytime that you have the opportunity. If you haven't already done so, there should be a visitor's card in the back of the pew in front of you, and if you'll fill that out, there should be some men going through the audience afterward, and you can put that in. We'd like to have a record of your attendance here, maybe send you a card. See if you have any spiritual needs that we can meet. Maybe strike up a Bible study. We'd like to give an account for what we believe, what we say, what we do here. We're just trying to be New Testament disciples, nothing more, nothing less. Pretty straightforward. But if you want to talk further about that, please do ask us. Nothing better than family love. And nothing worse than family hatred. When family's involved, it seems like the emotions and all the things running through our veins just get ratcheted up 10 notches more than they would normally if family were not involved. I want to talk with you about one of the greatest family feuds in all of the Bible, Jacob and Esau. We're going to begin here in Genesis chapter 25, but just very quickly kind of give a synopsis of the beginning part of their life, because we want to look more at what happens 20 years later. But Jacob and Esau were Isaac and Rebekah's children. And we need to make a special note about who their grandpa was, because of the Abrahamic lineage and the promises that were made to Abraham. Remember, it was to Abraham that was promised the land of Canaan. His descendants would inherit that land. A great nation would come from Abraham and his descendants. Through his seed, descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Those who blessed the seed of Abraham would be blessed. Those who cursed, would they themselves be cursed. All of those Abrahamic blessings and promises get brought down to Isaac, the son of promise, and then to one of the sons that Isaac and Rebekah has. Well, there's a problem. They're twins. So who is the Abrahamic blessings and promises going to go to? Well, the firstborn, right? It would be Esau. So Esau's descendants was supposed to enter the land of Canaan. Through Esau, the great nation would become. And through Esau's seed and descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's the way it was supposed to happen. Let's read about it. Begin reading with me in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 25. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they named him Esau, which means hairy or rough. Verse 26. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So they called him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. And pay special attention to verse 28, because we're going to see this in action. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So easy. Esau's the first. He's called Esau because he's rough or hairy. His nickname will become Edom. We'll see that in just a moment, which means red. And he's dad's favorite. Jacob the second. His name is Jacob. And if you have footnotes in your Bible, it probably says heel tripper. In Hebrew, it means to cheat or cheater, a supplanter. And they probably thought it was cute to name him Jacob. You know, he's hanging on to the heel as he's coming out of the womb. Okay, a heel tripper, all neat. Well, the reason why that's significant is because this name is going to be brought up a couple of more times. And this is not just a name. This is his character. He is a cheater. He will have a lifetime of cheating. Well, until some point where he decides to get serious about his faith. But hang on to that name. So Esau's supposed to get the blessings, right? The Abrahamic promises. Well, keep reading. Verse 29 and following. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. That's why they changed his name. And another thing to just kind of put in the back of your mind was how much names meant to Hebrews. People were named things based on a story. All right, Esau had a story. He was hairy, rough. Edom has a story, red. Jacob has a story. He cheats. Abraham, his name was changed to Abraham, which means father of nations. Isaac means he laughs. There's a story behind those names. And I want you to pay special attention to that because his name will be changed by God in chapter 32. But verse 31, Jacob says, sell me your birthright now for a meal. You know, we don't want to let Esau off the hook because Hebrews says that he was a profane man for giving up his birthright for a single meal. But Jacob, come on, that's a bad deal for your brother, don't you think? Sell me your birthright now. Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is my birthright to me? Jacob says, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, so Jacob now is supposed to get the Abrahamic blessings. Jacob is supposed to get the Abrahamic promises, right? Well, evidently, you're going to see this come up in Esau's mind. Esau knew that he was giving away his birthright, but he didn't think that he was giving away his blessings. He thought that those two things were distinct. Because when it comes time for Isaac to bless one of them, Esau thinks that he's going to get the blessing. And evidently he was right, because Isaac thought that too. When Isaac is about to pass down these Abrahamic blessings and promises, Isaac thinks that they're going to Esau. Jacob's a cheater. But his mom, he probably learned from. When it comes time for Isaac to pass down the blessings and the promises, Rebekah gets involved. And she says to Jacob, hey, we got to get involved. We got to trick your dad. We got to trick Esau to get you the blessing. Hop over to chapter 27, if you will, and begin reading with me in verse 26. They hatched this plan to trick Isaac. And you might think, well, this is a silly plan because Isaac's going to know who it is. But the thing about this plan is that Isaac is completely blind. He cannot tell who's in front of him. So they hatch this plan. Jacob goes to Esau's closet. He gets some clothes. Rebekah is going to cook some meal just like Esau does, because Isaac had told Esau, go kill some game, give me a meal, and then I'll bless you. So Esau's off doing his hunting thing. Rebekah's doing some cooking. Jacob's got into Esau's closet and put on his clothes, and they in fact put goat skin on his arms because he was a smooth man, and Esau was hairy. And he comes into Isaac and says, got some game, got a meal for you. And Isaac puts up a little bit of resistance and says, it's the voice of Jacob, but the smell of my son Esau. He says, come closer. And he feels the goat skin that he put on his arm. And he asks him a second time, are you really my son Esau? He says, yes. He says, weird. It's the voice of Jacob, but the hairiness of Esau. And finally he says, come closer and let's bless you. Begin reading with me in verse 26, chapter 27. Then his father Isaac said, come here and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments. Evidently, he didn't smell very good. Esau didn't. It smelled his garments and blessed him, said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Highlight verse 28 for a moment. You remember how the land of promise was described, the land of Canaan? A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. You can kind of hear that in verse 28. The dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain and wine. May God give you this. Look at verse 29 now. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Go back to chapter 12, if you will, and just read verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. This is when God first gives the promises to Abraham, and those exact words are given to Abraham by God. Look at verse 3, chapter 12. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And I point that out to say, this is not some ordinary blessing saying, Jacob, I hope you do good. Son, I hope you do well in life. I hope you earn a lot of money and do good things. No, 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 no. The promises that were given to Abraham are now being given to Jacob. Salvation history just took a turn. Go back to chapter 27. Now I say just took a turn, tongue in cheek. Because you heard the scripture reading this morning. It was actually God's will for the promises to go through Jacob. But Isaac doesn't know that. So he receives these Abrahamic promises, leaves, put the clothes back in the closet. Esau comes in and says, Dad, I was successful, got a meal for you. And he starts trembling violently. And he says, Who was just in here? Whoever was in here before you, I blessed them. And they're really going to be blessed. Drop down to verse 34, if you will. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Verse 36. Here's the name thing. Remember I told you to pay attention to the names? Look at verse 36. Esau said, Is he not rightly named cheater? Jacob. For he took away my birthright. He cheated me these two times, and he took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Again, he thought the birthright and the blessing were two distinct things. Then he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Can you imagine a big, burly man? I think of Esau being like the size of Craig Ritter or something. No offense to Craig. Big, burly. I mean, if you saw Craig when he played football, too. Imagine this big, burly, you know, red-headed monster, big beard and everything, just pacing around, bawling, angry. That cheater! He cheated me! That should be mine! And he starts to have thoughts of premeditated murder. Our justice system has clauses for crimes of passion and then premeditation. Even the law of Moses did too. Drop down to verse 41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which he had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are approaching, and afterward I will kill my brother Jacob. Ooh. Nothing worse than family love, or nothing better than family love. Nothing worse than family hatred. Rebekah gets wind of this, and even Isaac. You'd think Isaac would be upset because he got tricked. And his son, who was his favorite, got tricked as well. But Isaac doesn't want Jacob to die. And so the parents both send him away to Laban's house. And for 20 years, he spends time at Laban's house, still cheating. Still cheating for two decades. Laban cheating him back, and he kind of met his match in Laban. And then we skip to chapter 32. And here's what I want to focus on this morning. Chapter 32. 2 decades has gone by. And he finally had enough of Laban. Jacob did. So he flees Laban's house. Laban catches up with him. They kind of have a big goodbye session. But he's about to meet his brother again after 20 years. And he says in the text, I am exceedingly frightful of my brother Esau. So he sends some messengers on ahead to see how Esau's thinking. And the word comes back this. Esau's coming, and he's got 400 guys with him. That's all they say. And if I was Jacob, and this is what he thought, I'd be thinking, this guy's in for a civil war. He's going to kill us. He's still angry about how I cheated him. And you don't just travel around with 400 dudes. I mean, this is wartime. So he does three things. The first thing he does is like a military tactic. He splits everybody up into two groups. You wouldn't want to be in the first. Because his plan was, if they get attacked, the second group can hightail it, get out of Dodge, and be safe. The second thing he does is pray. He says, I'm exceedingly fearful of my brother Esau, please deliver me out of his hand. And the third thing that he does is he gets a present to butter him up. Listen to this. I jotted down the amount of animals that Jacob was going to give Esau in waves. Listen to how many animals. 220 goats, 220 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 30 donkeys. That's 550 animals at least. It said the camels and their calves. We don't know how many calves. So 550 animals. I texted Jason last night because he's got some cattle down in the southern part of the state. And I said, how much does a cow cost? Bare minimum, non-registered, not a good cow, $500, and they go up into the thousands. But let's just say that these 550 animals cost $500 a pop. That's $275,000 in our money. And I think that goes to show just how fearful he is of Esau. This is not him showing up with a goat and saying, hey, you want to have a meal? I got you a goat from Laban's house. This is my full retirement. This is my full savings from being at Laban's house for 20 years. This is $275,000. Please, let's part ways friends. And the night before their meeting, here's what happens. I have to read it to you because it's one of the strangest things in all the scripture. No exaggeration. Jacob will wrestle with God. You have to read it. I can't just paraphrase it because it's too strange. Look at verse 22 of chapter 32. And here's where we'll start making some application. Hone in on this. His name will be changed. Verse 22. That same night he arose and took his wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. So he's all by himself. He said, go across the river. I'm going to stay here. Maybe he's going to have some time with prayer. We don't know. But he was left alone. Verse 24. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Listen, if you had fought with somebody all night, would you want a blessing from that person? Don't let me see you again if I've got my Glock on me. That's what I'd be saying. Stay away from me and my family. I don't want to ever see you again. But he knows this is not just a normal person that he wrestled with. Listen to what he says in verse 27. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, I'm a cheater. That's how people know me. Listen, when God asks a question, it's not to gain information. He knows everything. When God asks a question, it's to give information and to hear a confession. What's your name? And Hebrews didn't, you know, names were not just what you were called. It was your character. It was the story behind it. How do people know you? That's what he's asking. How do people know you? And before we're converted, and after we're converted, when we pray to God about our sins, you know what God wants from us? He wants us to confess what he already knows us to be. I'm a cheater. I'm a liar. I'm sexually immoral. I'm prideful. I'm selfish. And God will tell Jacob, not anymore. Verse 28. Then he said, no, your name shall no longer be called cheater, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. It's interesting that Jacob thinks it's God that he just wrestled with. The text never corrects that. And the messenger or God, whoever he's wrestling with, says, your name is Israel, which means striven with God. I think it's the Lord. in some human form that he's wrestling with. Verse 30, so Jacob named that place Peniel, saying, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him, and as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Strange. I want you to touch, just tuck a couple of things in the back of your mind. He changed his name. A clean slate. How are you known? What's your story? I'm a cheater. Not anymore. You're Israel. For you've striven with God and prevailed. And he named that place Peniel, which literally means the face of God. Tuck that away as well. So sun is up. Esau's coming. And a battle breaks out and half the people die. No, that's not what happens. Here's what happens. One of the warmest emotional greetings in all of Scripture. Verse 4 of chapter 33. Esau ran to meet him and embraced... Who ran? Who? Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. You know what that reminds me of? The story of the prodigal. Who ran to who? It was the Lord. It was the one cheated. It was the one who was done wrong. God broke out in a dead sprint to accept his sinning son. And here it is, the guy who got cheated two times, and all that fortune that Jacob sent forth should have been his. You know, think about what he could say. And by the way, he brings up the fortune. He said, who are all these people? And Jacob says, this is my family. And he says, what about all those 550 animals? He said, that's a present for you. That's for you, Esau. Esau says, I've got enough. You know what Esau could have said? That is all mine anyway. I remember how you did me dirty. And that blessing and those fortunes should have been mine. Don't you think I forgot about what you did to me 20 years previous? And until I see some sorriness from you, some grief, I'm not going to forgive you. But that's not what he does. Esau is the godlike character in this instance. And may God make me an Esau. If somebody ever does me wrong like this, I said just a moment ago, he is the God-like character. And you know who picks up on that? Jacob. Listen to verse 10. Here's our lesson. Jacob said, no, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, because you accepted me. What did he see last night? What did he name that place just last night? Peniel. Because I saw God's face. And what he's telling Esau is, seeing you act like this, seeing you accept me like this, it's like what I saw last night when I got my name changed, when I got a free slate, I got a clean slate. Seeing you is just like what I saw last night. And what? How refreshing would that be? Man, I love that story. And the entire lesson is this. Who can you be the face of God to? That's it. That's the lesson. I did a lot of storytelling this morning. And now for 2 minutes I'll do some preaching. Who can you be the face of God to? Who can you forgive? Who's afraid of you? Who's done you wrong? Who do you need to bust out into a dead sprint and embrace? Any brothers and sisters in this audience at odds with each other? Any marriages? It's hard for me to think that in an audience like this, we don't have some marriages that need a reunion like this. And let me tell you, this is the hardest part when you're on this end. It was the hurt one running to the one that hurt him. Please get out your songbooks and turn to the Song of Invitation. Who can you be the face of God to? Who can you forgive? Listen, I'm going to go back one slide. When I meet God, when I see my Lord Jesus tear up in the sky and descend, I don't want that. I don't want a war. And the Bible speaks about the day of judgment in warlike terms. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, God bringing retribution, God bringing vengeance. When I see my master, I don't want war. I want that. I want to be embraced. I want to know that all the past things that I've done are gone. They're forgotten about. They don't mean anything. What means something now is this relationship that I have with God, with the Lord Jesus. But the preaching of Jesus could not be more clear. Alan, if you want that, you've got to be that. You've got to be forgiven. If you're going to be forgiven, the Lord God will not forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive other people's their trespass, beloved, be this. Let's be this for each other. Let's be this for people who have hurt us. Because we need that from God. If you're subject to the gospel call, with Bejitica, this is going to be standing.